Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
You're listening to GCN.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, right now, of course, we're going to have with us Vladimir Zavagin. I don't pronounce that very well, but Vladimir is a Russian national. He was raised in Russia, worked in radio there, eventually came to the United States, and has done radio work here as well. But he's kind enough to come on with us because he has a grasp of what's going on in Russia today that the average American doesn't, and what part Putin plays. And now, of course, where we see this growing war in the Caucasus in Georgia, and of course the situation is really sort of incredible there. It was almost as if the United States and or Israel were encouraging the Georgians to go up against the Russians, which really is quite illogical. But anyway, let's get Vladimir's view of what's going on as far as Georgia, first of all, because I think this is the major issue before any of us today. Thank you so very much for being with us again.
Good afternoon, Stan. Good afternoon to all of you out there in the sunny, gorgeous California and the West Coast and the Middle States. It's really amazing that the technology of today brings us so close together, and in real time you can talk to people in New Zealand and China, and we watch the wonderful Olympics in Beijing these days in real time. It's in real time, like real time, and you can learn the results of what's going on, and this beautiful competition of people from all over the world inspires me, I guess, everybody in hoping for a better tomorrow. But you can also watch in real time, in blood, sweat, and tears, what's going on in the Caucasus these days. And well, it's really scary.
Well, why don't you give us your impression of what's going on there and where this is going to end up? Because, certainly when you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. And certainly, of course, the United States has been very closely aligned with Georgia. Georgia wanted to enter NATO. Certainly, the Russians were not happy about that. And certainly, we were supplying the weapons and the training for the Georgian army. So what's going on there? Is this a battle of surrogates? What's really happening?
I have the feeling, Stan, that most Americans don't even understand what's going on and why this war erupted at this point in time, because obviously the major point of concern for most of us here in the U.S. and in the West and in Western Europe and in Eastern Europe, was Chechnya. All of a sudden it's Georgia and South Ossetia and Abkhazia. But I have to tell you that for the last 16 years, since 1992, when the Soviet republics parted ways, South Ossetia, which used to be a part of Georgia as a country, and Abkhazia, which also used to be a part of Georgia, decided to go independent, or at least autonomous. So they separated and announced unilaterally that they wanted to find their way into the future on their own. And as a matter of fact, no one said no, but the international community never said yes. So in a sense, these self-proclaimed formations or territories were still part of Georgia. Georgia was calling on the international community to take specific steps to somehow regulate the situation. Instead, with the approval of the United Nations and the United States, I guess, Russia sent their own peacekeeping forces to this part of Georgia. And in a sense, that was like inviting the peacekeeping forces to observe and supervise the area that they wanted to become a part of Russia. And obviously, in the last 16 years, the situation was going from bad to worse, and eventually, at this point in time, it was last Thursday, I guess.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We're going to be right back here.
Right.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
It is now time to rein in evil and bring them to justice. Through the authority that has been delegated to us, it is time to destroy the destroyers. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million, the vast majority of the population of the U.S. Though the people of the U.S., where their numbers and influence are strongest, have primary responsibility for reining them in and bringing them to justice, all nations will participate since they reside the world over. They are called Illuminati, elite, proponents of the New World Order. They oppose everything that is God and truth. They are of the line that was disinherited 2,000 years ago. Everything they have built over the centuries, the wealth they have accumulated, the power they have established, the poisoning of the masses, the destruction of the earth and mankind, we will undo through the authority that has now been delegated to us. Visit our website at unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com. The message of his kingdom.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Back in just a moment. Well, this is Arthur Stan. Of course, Vladimir is comparing what's going on in there in this breakaway province of Georgia to what happened in Europe immediately prior to the Second World War, when Chamberlain, the British Prime Minister, was actively encouraging Adolf Hitler to move into the Sudetenland, to move into Alsace-Lorraine, and move into, of course, the Austria. And so, pick up the story there. What was this analogy you were trying to draw?
Yes, and I guess that the claim that Russia moved into these territories in response to the initial military move by the Georgian government last Friday is really ridiculous, because you are moving into territory which is still the territory of another country. You are defending the people whom you have issued Russian passports, and you use this as a pretext to invade, and moreover, you move into the territory of Georgia per se after that, bombing their towns, villages, killing people, and so on. And this was viewed by many people here in the West, and many people in Russia, for that matter, as an attempt by the new Russian government, by the new Russian president, whom everybody considered to be a liberal or a Democrat, whatever, far from that. And that was considered as a move to intimidate the Georgian government and the Georgians themselves, and also to maybe unseat their current president, Mikhail Saakashvili, who is a staunch U.S. ally and wants to join NATO and become part of the European community in many ways, and so on and so forth. The situation is really very, very uncertain. But appeasing Russia really brings the ghosts of Europe's bloody history rising from their shallow graves. Really, because in history, you remember Charles de Gaulle, the great French president, he once said that the only constant in history is geography. And from this standpoint, geography and history come together in the most amazing way, because 200 years ago, the Georgian Queen Tamara said, well, the only future for Georgia lies with Russia. So they wanted Georgia to become a part of Russia, and the Russian Tsars accepted them. So you see a situation that has nothing to do with territorial integrity or whatever. Putin, who is by all means is still the ruler of Russia, and not the current president Medvedev, Putin is viewing this as something personal, just like he viewed the former owner of Yukos, the oil company, whom he sent to Siberia to serve a 9-year term. He is viewing Saakashvili as his personal enemy. Have you heard? I don't know if you've heard this, but at some point a couple of years ago, Saakashvili, the Georgian president, called Putin Lily Putin. That may sound not so funny in English, but in Russian it sounds very funny. And Lily Putin means he's very, very demeaning in many ways.
Well, you don't want to be calling names of people who have nuclear weapons,
and
Putin is a very aggressive individual. He comes from the FSB, which is really the old KGB that's always been in control over there. I mean, the fall of Russia, in my estimation, is phony as a $3 bill. But so Putin's the power behind the scenes. They have a new man as president, or maybe as premier. But of course, Putin's really pulling the strings. But
Suddenly,
this looks like a direct confrontation of the East and the West again, that same old battle that's gone on, going back to 1918, between our nation and, or at least the West, and of course this Russian oligarchy that controlled the country all these years.
I think in many ways that's the right description of the situation. See, as I see it from the U.S., and again, I don't try to be pro-Western or pro-Russian. I'm trying to be analytical in describing the situation. From what transpires, I think that the Russians are trying to achieve several objectives at the same time. They're trying to intimidate other republics, former republics of the Soviet Union, like Azerbaijan, like Armenia, like Ukraine, of course. Of course, the Baltic republics, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, and of course, Poland and the Czech Republic and many others. They're trying to show them, look, if you move, we'll move in, and don't have any second thoughts about that. So they also try to show the West that, U.S. used to be the world's policeman. Now we are our own policemen, and we will show the world that we can do it ourselves. We will not follow any commands or instructions from Washington, and we are on our own. So in many ways, this is a scary picture, because what we see, in effect, is a Russian thrust into the new political paradigm. And this political paradigm produces many a lot of uncertainty.
Okay.
And this uncertainty becomes a ground that can produce anything.
Well, because the thing is that most Americans don't understand how weak our military really is. We have a wonderful article. I hope any of our listeners question that, or go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and look at an article that we published there, December of 2007, written by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, pointing out that we do not have any excess of military men. This is why we have to keep sending the National Guard and the Reserve troops back again and again and again. And some of them are on their third or fourth rotations, which is totally unfair to themselves and to their families. But we are short on men because we have them stationed all throughout the world in our effort for domination there. But we get into a war, and we're in real trouble. And, of course, the question is, do you think this war will be self-limited and the Georgians will be able to make some sort of a peace? But right now, the Russians is moving into Georgia, and they could certainly sweep across that country and, you know, in relatively few weeks and defeat it. Would America do anything? Would Israel do anything? I don't think so. What do you think?
I don't think that anyone will do anything because, unfortunately, the West has very limited capabilities of affecting anything that transpires in that part of the world, except probably for saying, okay, Russia, that's enough. We will not make you or keep you a part of the G8 group of nations. And obviously the recent move, the most recent move by G7 that excluded Russia from consultations is a good sign that something is brewing over there, and maybe the fact that a few hours ago the president, President George W. Bush, decided not to participate, to cancel American participation in the NATO, joint NATO military maneuvers with Russia, is a sign that something will happen. Unfortunately, Russians, and maybe that's true, unfortunately, Russians rely on the fact that the West, and in particular, the West European nations need oil, they need natural gas, they need power, and Ukraine needs power, and Georgia needs electricity, and whatever. So maybe they will close their eyes, maybe they'll look the other way, maybe. But is this a given? I don't think so, because there are two, the move away from the generally accepted principles of the international law is probably too much for Europe and too much for the United States to keep their eyes closed.
Oh, no, basically, some people talk about this pipeline that they want to build from Central Asia through Georgia so they could bypass Russia because, of course, Russia, having the natural gas and oil, so much of it is being sent into Europe today, it puts Russia into a very powerful position in dealing with its adversaries, saying certainly if you don't want to go along with this, we'll just cut off your supply of oil and natural gas, and specifically in the natural gas is such a necessity in Western Europe today. So basically, of course, if they were able to get this other pipeline in, that would bypass Russia and weaken their control over Eastern Europe. Is that a factor, do you think, of this pipeline that's going through Georgia?
The pipeline goes through Georgia, and by the way, it's great that you mentioned this. All through the post-South Ossetian invasion period, Russia started bombing oil installations in Georgia. The port of the Georgian port on the Black Sea coast, that is the terminal where they download oil that comes from Azerbaijan, from other oil-producing republics such as Kazakhstan. And it's interesting that Russia tries to curb the oil that's coming through the three pipelines that go through Iran, through Turkey, and make sure that the only pipeline that they use is the pipeline that passes through the Russian territory. Putin has in effect become the chairman de facto of Gazprom, Russia's huge oil and gas conglomerate, and he is trying to do whatever he can to accomplish his goals. That is to secure Russian economic interests, financial interests in that part of the world. And what you say is very likely, is plausible, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happens this way as you describe it.
Well, of course, what concerns me, of course, is the fact that this could, you know, this war could actually continue, and Georgia would be forced to really more or less surrender to the Russians, which would, of course, end the possibility of the alternative transportation of oil and natural gas from the Central Asia to Europe. And of course, this is, I think, exactly what the Soviets wanted. And what really bothers me so much is that why would we give them the opportunity, the justification? Why would our government not go along with Georgia's attack on the breakaway province when we knew how the Russians would respond?
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
What a beautiful day for the beach.
Look, up there in the sky, it's Nonex Man. He's in a dive.
He must have found some ugly toenails on the beach.
Let's go look.
I'm Nonex Man, and your toenails need Nonex Nail Gel. Stop hiding them in the sand. Take them out. Let's see them.
Ooh. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Don't worry. Now there's Nonex Nail Gel. Use it on your toenails regularly, and they'll look fantastic in sandals.
Oh, I will, Nonex Man.
Great. Well, I'm off to find more ugly toenails.
Don't let Nonex Man find you with unsightly toenails. Buy diabetic-friendly, money-back guaranteed Nonex Nail Gel. It's in the foot care aisle at Supercenters, Walgreens, CVS, Longs, Meijer, Giant Eagle, Car Drug, Snyder's, Duane Reade, Philo, and Rite Aid.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm
I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Sure. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I simply asked Vladimir what he thought should be done. And he commented that 8 years ago, when George Bush first came into office, he traveled to Russia and he said he looked into Vladimir Putin's eyes and he saw he was a real Democrat. He knew he could trust him. But, of course, now it becomes obvious that the Putin and, of course, the communists are still in control. They don't call themselves communists anymore, but they really are. The whole hierarchy of Russia is pretty well this oligarchy that came right out of the KGB. And now, of course, the way that is not simply defending the breakaway province, they are attacking Georgia. And, of course, it's going to be terrible, terrible consequences before this is over. And I think we're on the verge of the resumption of the Cold War with all of the implications that's going to bring. But not only, of course, the resumption of the Cold War, but the impact, what it's going to do as far as the American people are concerned, and the fact we're going to have to expand our military again, as we have. And yet, of course, just a few years ago, we were told we don't even need any military. The Cold War is over. America's won the war. But did we really ever win the war is the question, or have we been taken in from the very beginning? Well, Vladimir, certainly are there any other issues you'd like to talk about besides the situation over there in Georgia, which, of course, is really concerned to me. What about Chechnya? What's happening with Chechnya?
Well, Chechnya is still there running their own business and drawing money from the Russian budget big time, big time. Every year, the Moscow, the Kremlin, is sending something like $2 billion there to support their reconstruction. The same is happening in Ossetia. The same is happening in Abkhazia. In Abkhazia, and the Chechen people, well, the security maybe it's there, but it's the security of the kind that exists in a prison. Well, the prison is secure. Everybody has his or her own cell. Silence is observed, but that's it. The only hope for people of Chechnya is that they will have a new leader. In the meantime, people keep on disappearing, and there are tortures underway in their jails, and the a guy who is running the show, Kadyrov, was appointed by Moscow, and Moscow is conducting a very interesting policy. The policy of well, you can compare it to the "don't tell, don't ask, don't tell" policy. We don't ask you how you do it, and you do whatever you want because we want security. We want peace in the area, and how you do it, it doesn't matter. So what is happening really is that that part of of the former Soviet Union, that part of Russia, is de facto a separate entity. Uh-huh. They are selling their own oil. They're doing whatever they want. They are drawing from the Russian budget, but they're not responsible to Moscow for whatever happens there. Cool. They have a ruler who rules the territory his own way, and Russians have nothing to do with it.
Well, because we talked once before, and I'd mentioned to you I'd had the opportunity of interviewing the one remaining author of the book, Blowing Up Russia. I think his name is Veltsitsyn. You probably can pronounce it better than I. But
yes.
And, of course, the other author was actually poisoned. He poisoned with polonium 220 or polonium 20 in
yes.
London, and of course this created quite an incident. But their story was very, very simple. The fact is that they said that Putin had, and of course it's, one of them was actually a member of the KGB, so we should have known about it, or the FSB, call it what you will, that Putin had actually engineered the blowing up of three apartment houses in Moscow, killing about 300 Russians, but it was all engineered. They blamed it on the Chechens, but they needed an excuse to go out with Chechnya. Is it possible that this man, our president, thinks so highly of Putin, would actually have been capable of ordering the blowing up of three apartment houses in Moscow and killing 300 Russians just simply so he could justify going to war in Chechnya? It was just simply a vehicle of getting the people behind him because, of course, war is a very convenient means of rallying the people behind the leaders.
Someone said, Stan, that as soon as they fire the first shot, truth disappears. That's the rule of any war, and that's what's been happening in Russia. And I don't mean the war as such, per se. I mean the war against their own people, the information war. Because most people in Russia don't know what's going on inside the nation and around the world, for that matter. The Americans are portrayed as the evil, as something that is the cause of every problem that Russia faces today. And blowing up a couple of buildings or invading Dagestan, as they did in the year 2000, the year actually in 1999, to promote further introduction of anti-constitutional...
Hold that thought, we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Imagine walking down the street and hearing footsteps behind you. They get closer and closer, and suddenly you have a sense something bad is going to happen. What are you going to do to defend yourself? TiboTech specializes in non-lethal self-defense products for you and your family. With everything from stun guns and tasers to personal alarms and pepper spray, TiboTech will arm you with the most advanced non-lethal products anywhere on the net. Not sure where to start? The TiboTech Essentials package is great for you or to share with your family. It comes with a 950,000-volt cell phone stun gun, a multi-pack of pepper sprays, an extremely loud personal alarm, and a how-to book for defending yourself with pepper spray, all at a low price. With these or any of TiboTech's products, you have the tools to defend yourself against an attack and get yourself to safety. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Stock up now. TiboTech.com. That's TiboTech.com.
Are you as prepared physically and spiritually as you can be for the uncertainties of 2008-2009? This is Elizabeth Border. You can request a free sample newsletter tracking the police state, both the Protestant and Roman Catholic signs of the Great Falling Away. Just write your request to Post Office Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. You can hear our internet program on the Classy Genesis Communications Network, GCNlive.com, 6 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday. You can also hear it on shortwave Friday evenings on 5070, 7 p.m. Central. You can hear us on Saturday and Sunday evenings after Dr. Stan on Rick's satellite. Sometimes Sally Lou and Pat Hockett will slip out of American Babylon to satirize, entertain, and yes, teach you in parable form. If you love the Republic, that old beautiful America, be sure to tune in to the Divided Kingdom.
Moment here, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Vladimir was simply saying that in Russia today, there's a growing sense of fear. It's not as bad as it was under the Stalin's regime, but very often if you're talking to somebody on the telephone and they're saying something maybe not politically correct, you will simply interrupt and say, we should not be talking about this on the telephone, because, of course, there's the fear that, as it was under Stalin, as it was under Andropov and under Khrushchev, why the... There is, of course, increasing surveillance of the people, and, of course, people remember in fear of what it was to live under the heel of the totalitarianism, and it seems that the totalitarianism is returning to Russia today. So, and then, of course, what was the next point you were trying to make there?
Yes, and so, as I said, they believe that they have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. Internationally, they will be accepted because the world needs their... oil needs their natural gas. And if this is the new paradigm of foreign policy paradigm in Moscow, if this value, if this viewing of the international situation at the beginning of the 21st century will become, will translate into a guide to action, then Russia will just start falling apart. It will crumble down onto the sanctions, pressure from the inside, pressure from the outside, and the point of no return, I see it, frankly speaking, is Tbilisi. Is this last war? Unfortunately, Russia did not achieve their goal, but the main players are still there. The main players, the elite, the former KGB officials all across the country and in Moscow and in all the companies are there. They are still aggressive. They are aggressive to the rest of the world. They believe that Russia is being encircled by the U.S. and their Western allies. That everybody around is an enemy. And have a look at the map. I'm looking at the map of Russia as we speak. And all along the borders of the new Russia, you have nations that the Kremlin calls enemies: the Baltic states, Poland, Belarus, who is not their ally anymore, Ukraine, Moldova, Poland, Czech Republic, all of the Caucasus now, of course, because after what happened to Georgia, to Tbilisi, Armenia, and Azerbaijan will probably say, hey, we want to NATO too, we want to be under the umbrella, protective umbrella of NATO. And of course, in the Middle East, in Central Asia, people are looking at what's been happening in that part of the world in recent days with awe and trepidation. The same psychology rules Russia. The belief that only raw force, strength, can make them winners, and the belief that everybody in the world supports this, and they are trying to win the information war against their own people. See, it's when was the last time any person, any, from the Russian leadership was on American television speaking and debating issues? When was the last time? Can you recall? I don't think so.
Last time I saw was Putin on 60 Minutes, and he just ran circles around the people from 60 Minutes, and he ended with a God bless you, and... Yeah, and I could just see the insincerity radiating out from him. Well, I think it's important that the American people have some grasp of what's really going on over there. Certainly, Russia is a major force as far as oil, as far as natural gas is concerned. They're the world's largest exporter of natural gas, they're the world's second largest exporter of oil. And yet, of course, as we've discussed on previous programs, you get 30 minutes outside of Moscow or St. Petersburg or maybe one other city, and you look at the surrounding countryside, you're back in the 19th century, in the 1800s. Very primitive, very little development. Certainly, Russia has the ability to create weapons, destruction. But as far as really raising the living standards of the people outside the major cities, has there been much in the way of development over the last 50 to 75 years?
You're right. When you travel outside of Moscow or St. Petersburg or a couple of other major Russian cities in the Urals, along the Volga River, you really see the world of maybe 100 years ago. It's worse today than it used to be at the time when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991-1992. The people live in a situation when the regional, when taxes are very high and no one pays them because you know, people's salaries are very low. 80% of the population lives on the border of poverty or in poverty, while 7 or 8% of those who have access to state budget, the regional budgets, and have access to oil and natural gas, they live like kings. Just a while ago, that was a couple of days ago, as a matter of fact, someone bought a mansion in on Côte d'Azur in France for $500 million. Someone from Russia.
Well,
how can you possibly do that? Your nation lives in poverty, and you buy planes, private planes, you buy submarines or huge vessels to ply the world, and you don't really care. People don't do like act like this if they have real concern for their own nation. So all of a sudden, you see, I think I mentioned this to you, and 15 years ago, in 1998, there were no billionaires in Russia, the dollar billionaires. Today, there's 110, and 71 of them lives in Moscow. 71 billionaires live in Moscow. In New York, we have 74, so it's pretty close.
Well, of course, aren't a lot of these people who have been already, of course, parts of the KGB or other parts of the hierarchy of the communist country?
Or people who have been allowed to generate a lot of money. Putin's friend sells oil for Russia. He lives in Switzerland. I don't remember his name, but it doesn't really matter because this guy is Putin's bookkeeper, so to say. They say in Moscow that from every business deal, a certain percentage goes to the vaults of the people who are running the show nationally. I don't know who, I don't know why, but obviously Putin and his cohorts are some of the richest people in the world these days.
Here's what
to use this word with regard to Russia, because most of these people are not very well educated in running national economy. Most of them, if they came from within the KGB, they were trained to not to allow people to do something, to monitor what people are doing, to curb their initiatives, to curb the freedom of the speech and things like that. And all of a sudden, these people are told, okay, the economy is yours, run it. They're not running it. They're robbing the country in broad daylight, point blank, doing things that, you know, under Western legal system, people would not be allowed to do. But they are doing this because there is no one to tell them no. And most importantly, once you are in power and once you know that some of your revenues are illegal, you will do anything. And I say it, stress it, anything to stay in power. And, well, Putin obviously knows that, and that's why he wants to stay in power, if not in the pilot seat, but in the cockpit, and together with this new guy, Medvedev, they're running the show together. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in a couple of years, Putin would be back in the pilot seat, in the cockpit, and running the show, because maybe Medvedev will get sick or something will happen and Putin will be reelected by acclaim, so to say. And the national support for him is still very high. And most people don't have a clue what's going on in the world. And as because the freedom of speech in Russia have been severely curtailed, and most people, to tell you frankly, don't give a damn as long as their immediate needs are satisfied.
Well, basically, do you have a website or any information you'd like to get out here? Or have you written?
I'm working on that.
All right.
Because we have started doing this only recently, And I believe that more and more Americans should learn about what's going on in Russia. This complacency has no place in today's world.
What can the average individual here in America do any more than the average individual over in Russia? I mean, our leaders seem to be doing everything they can, ordinarily, to embrace Russia, but Russia, of course, is invading Georgia. And our president says, well, I talked to Russia and to Putin at the Olympics, and I just told him we didn't approve of that. We wanted to have more respect for human rights. And I'm sure Putin is just sort of laughing at him. I mean, these are not people who, you know, take kindly to advice. They have an objective. They want power. They're willing to kill innumerable people, hundreds of thousands if necessary, to maintain their power. And when our president tries to moralize with them, that's almost ridiculous, isn't it?
What worries me more, or most, should I say, is that I haven't heard anything from John McCain or Barack Obama. The next president will have to deal with this mess. He will have to say no or to say yes to something that has not yet transpired. So what are the options? What are the opportunities for the U.S. and our allies to move forward and do something? I don't hear about this. I don't hear from them. I don't hear from their advisors, counselors, whatever. Maybe that's the right approach, to stay on the sidelines and then wait until the dust settles down. But this is probably what worries me most. What will happen next? Because starting next January, this person or their teams will have to do something very, very practical about it. And so far, I haven't a slightest clue what will happen then.
Well, of course, an awful lot of people are going to die in the meantime, and this is the great tragedy. I mean, I remember the first day we heard about the war, 1,400 civilians had died. We don't know how many in the military, but then, of course, the next day it was up to 2,000 people had died there in Georgia. I don't know how many of it, but, I mean, war is a terrible thing. People die, that people are destroyed, people are casualties, their families are shattered, their homes are destroyed, and a war is going on over there in Georgia today. And the American people seem to be so much more concerned about the Olympics than they are the terrible tragedy that's unfolding over in that part of the world. Is this of concern to you?
It's a major concern. It's a major concern because Russia and Russian diplomacy in the last several years have been trying to push forth the idea of friends and foes. That you cannot pursue international policy by dividing, by separating yours from not yours, friends or foes. You cannot deny the idea that democracy can be universal. There's no Russian democracy or the democracy of the Russian kind. And in essence, the war with Georgia demonstrated a sufficiently high degree of isolation of Russia in today's world, and Russian diplomacy will have to change, or they will be isolated like hell.
All right, time. Well, our telephone number, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Vladimir, who certainly understands what's going on over there, coming from Russia, although you never know it. He doesn't have hardly any accent at all, but he's been here for a number of years, working in radio and other places, and, of course, lecturing on these issues, and he certainly has a great grasp of what's going on. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And of course, I would simply comment that if you study the history of the wars the last 120 years, why you find just minor incidents, the sinking of a battleship, accidental. It really, of course, wasn't sunk by the Spanish forces, as the American people were told back in 1898, but that didn't matter. We got, of course, into a war there, killed probably 100,000 or more, maybe twice or three times that many people over in the Philippines before that war was over. And then, of course, we got into the British got into the Boer War. It was supposed to be a very short war. It ended up going on for 3 years, 100,000 casualties. We got into, of course, the First World War. Started with a little minor skirmish having to do with the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand, and and 21 million people died. World War II, 60 million people died. And are we seeing the beginning of World War III? I don't know, but let's go to Herman calling from Carmel. Herman, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Well, I have two questions. First of all, the Europeans have tied themselves to Russian gas, and if they protest too loudly, couldn't Russia just cut them off?
That happened in the past, and I guess it may very well happen in the future. They have done this to Ukraine. They've done this to Poland. They've done this to the Czech Republic, to Western Europe in the past, and it's very, very likely. So looking at what's been transpiring in Europe in this respect, I guess we'd better start developing our alternative energy the best we can.
And here's one of the things, Herman, I can remember seeing a decade ago. Why is the American government helping the Russians build these pipelines into Western Europe, Eastern Europe, and of course, and helping Russia to become the dominant force there so that the people couldn't say, no, it didn't make any sense. But then so many things don't make sense today. Herman, anything else you wanted to say?
Well, regarding Iran, Russia is backing Iran.
Right.
And Putin has stated, I don't know where I heard this, that he says America shall not put their fleet into the Persian Gulf. Otherwise, there would be dire consequences.
But I think that Putin's quite willing to fight to the last Iranian. In other words, we can kill Americans, we can kill Iranians, and the Russians will sit there smiling like a Cheshire cat.
The Russians have been sending technology, technicians, support personnel to Iran for the last at least 30 years, at least, maybe more. Ever since the Shah and Shah of Iran was deposed and exiled, Russia has been in close cooperation with Iran. And their reaction to any Western attempt to somehow bring scale down the development of nuclear weapons, potentially, in Iran, have been derailed by Russia. What we have been doing in the past is really not enough. And the irony of this situation is really is that we need Russia to convince Iran to do something else, to stop it. So, in a sense, you don't have much of a choice. You cannot really push too hard in the Russian direction, because the Russian may say, well, go to and fly the kite.
No, I'm going to have to interrupt you there. Just hang on for a moment. Our guest is Vladimir Zyvygin, and thanks very much. And thank you very much, Herman. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Our jobs to China, to Kuala Lumpur, to Malaysia, Indonesia, India, whatever. And all of a sudden, we are losing jobs at home. We are dependent on whoever is out there. We're dependent in oil supply on Saudi Arabia, on the Persian Gulf countries, on Iran, for that matter, because Iran sends their oil to the West in huge numbers. We're dependent on Venezuela, on Hugo Chavez. We are becoming dependent on them. We are not yet dependent. Thank God Russia is not sending their oil to us, but they're sending liquefied natural gas to the West, and they hope to monopolize this market for themselves in the future as far as the U.S. is concerned. So we're not really becoming communistic, or they are not becoming capitalistic. They are still the same old communist-dominated or communist-thinking-dominated Russia and the former Soviet Union, because the same people are there. The people are the same as they were 20 or 30 years ago. They grew up under that system. So to think that in a matter of 20 or 30 years we can have a new generation is absolutely naive, and hopefully the reality of the world will change.
Well,
Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev teared down that wall. That was a strong signal to the Soviet Union. Is there anyone here today sending such a signal to Putin and his cohorts? No.
But it seems to me that maybe if Russia tried to move to capitalism, they'd be moving in the wrong direction, because the success in the economic world is in the communist world now.
Michael, we're going to have to go because we're out of time. But God bless. Thanks very much for talking. Good points.
Thank you.
Glad. And Vladimir, thanks very much for being with us. Bye bye, and God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I'm sorry we're not going to get to Greg, who's calling from Iowa, but I just want to make a couple of points. First of all, I mean, certainly the Russians are working closely with the Iranians today, but who brought the Iranian government to power, the Ayatollahs? Your Central Intelligence Agency, under the direction of Zygmunt Brzezinski back in 1979, and Zygmunt Brzezinski, of course, works very closely with the Rockefellers. He formed the Trilateral Commission for them. Where did Russia get the ability to have all this oil and natural gas? Why, ladies and gentlemen, that's your money at work. And if you haven't read my pamphlet on the capitalist, or I should say the communist-capitalist alliance, you need to get it. Part of the writings of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, part of it are the writings of my good friend Anthony Sutton. You need to understand that it was the Export-Import Bank, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, of the Asian, the United Nations Agency for International Development, and all of these various things funded by your tax money, along with a major American corporations under one guise or another, that, of course, Export-Import Bank drill those oil wells, and, of course, drill the oil wells and drill the natural gas wells and built the pipelines. Why would we have done anything that stupid? Because nothing is as it appears to be. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work behind the scenes, unless you understand the working of the spiritual hierarchy, and that is the term that is actually created by the people on the other side. It was actually a term that was dictated to Alice Bailey by a demonic spirit named Joao Cool. We'll be glad to get you their information. If you get any of our other items, we'll be glad to send you a copy of their pamphlet, The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, which begins to make some sense of everything that goes on that just doesn't seem to make any sense. So basically, we hope many of you will want to get my pamphlet on the Communist-Capitalist Alliance. I should say the Communist-Capitalist Alliance. You want to get the book, The Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution and The Best Enemies Money Could Buy by Professor Sutton, and then my DVD interview with Professor Sutton, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, going into how we have financed communism and helped it since its inception, which doesn't make any sense unless you understand there are other forces at work. Our DVD on the World Revolution, you'll actually hear the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the revolution, Ambassador Smith, talking about how the American State Department, the CIA, brought Fidel Castro to power knowing full well he was a communist. Why would you do something like that? Why, you're creating the best enemy money could buy. And, of course, it's all a charade. And the only trouble is an awful lot of people get killed in this charade. And then, of course, you want to get either the book or the DVD on the Brotherhood of Darkness, the DVD on the Forbidden Secret, the DVD on the Secret Knowledge, the DVD on the Planned Police State, their syllabuses with the Forbidden Secret and the Planned Police State. You need to get this information and so much other information. Go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And certainly watch our videos. We have a lot of free videos there you can watch for nothing. Hopefully you want to buy them and help us get it out. Or you want to donate to Radio Liberty, but that's your choice. You can listen to our radio programs free, 9 hours a day there. You won't get much accomplished. But you can listen, of course, to 4 hours live programming. And then you can listen to our blog. You can listen to MP3. You can listen to our programs that we just put up there for a time. And then, of course, you can read our newsletters, get the information. Understand nothing as it appears to be. And, of course, this war that's going on over there, I don't know where it's going to end, but it's all contrived. The American government was encouraging, of course, the Georgians to stand up against those communists and giving the communists a justification for this slaughter that's taking place. Well, why would we do that? Why, we've been funding the Georgians. The Americans, the Israelis have had troops there, training the Georgians in preparation for this war. Because, you see, war increasingly seems to be a way of life. It's a means of uniting the people behind the governments. It's a means of expanding government control. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program.